This first month of the year we have set as Challenge 2019. And in our lessons we have tried to look at and see some challenges from God's Word for each of us for this coming year. Today I want us to continue that. And I want us, in fact, it's going to be our lesson for the rest of the month. I want it to come from Paul's writing in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 11 through 12. Here he gives us four challenges. He challenges us to flee. He challenges us to follow. He challenges us to fight. And he challenges us to focus. And this morning we want to look at this first challenge, to flee. When Paul talks about these things, he's telling us that there are things in our life that seek to destroy us. And if we're going to be successful, we must look and do those positive things that God's Word puts before us and challenges us with. When Paul says here in 1 Timothy that we are to flee, reminds me of this alligator turtle. We used to have some of these over at Lucas Pond when I was growing up down in southern Arkansas. I've seen these old alligator turtles, and those things are pretty ugly, aren't they? But they are really, really fierce. But what they do is their tongue they use as a way to trap their food, because they lie so motionless and still on the bottom of the lake or the river or the pond, and they stick that little old tongue out. And they waggle that thing like a worm. And fish come swimming along, and they see that, and they think it's a worm, and they swim over there. And, of course, the old alligator turtle, he snaps them and eats them. And, you know, they can actually and do actually eat small alligators. That's the reason why they got that name. But it reminds me of how tempting Satan is with his devious things that he does. The things that he tries to do to ensnare us, to pull us in, to tempt us, and to destroy us. I think if we could see the end result of some of these temptations that Satan places before us, we would never do them. I think about the prodigal son and how Satan tempted him with the bright lights and the far country and the fun and why are you still here? Why your daddy's never gonna let you go. You're just gonna bury yourself on this farm, and there's so much world out there for you to see. Come on and go with me. And the prodigal son did, and you know the rest of the story. He found himself in a hog pen. And the only place he really wanted to go was back home. But he didn't see that part of it. Satan doesn't want you to see the hog pen, the dead-end road, the ruined life, the destroyed marriage, the losing of your children. What he wants you to see is the bright lights. And so that's the reason why it's called temptation. But, you know, it wouldn't be hard if temptation looked like this old alligator turtle. But it doesn't. It looks like the little worm that he uses, his tongue, that he uses to catch his fish. So Satan is really crafty in selling his sin. So we have to be ready to flee this temptation. And this is what Paul is saying here in 1 Timothy chapter 6. When he tells us that we need to flee those things that would destroy us, follow those things that will bring us closer to God, fight for those things that would beset us, and focus on those great truths and the heaven above. So, one of the phrases that Paul begins here with on this fleeing is he says that we are to be women and men of God. Oh, man of God, he starts out with this idea here. And when we see that, we kind of get it in our mind like the Old Testament, like Moses and Joshua and Samuel and David. Those were all men of God. Men of God. But do we think of ourselves as a man of God? In fact, there's just no other title greater than a woman or a man of God. A lot of great titles. Chief executive operator, director of operations, president, vice president, mayor, senator. Those are all titles of distinction. But to be called a woman or a man of God is one of the greatest titles of all. And it just doesn't just happen. We have to work at becoming what God wants us to be. And Paul says one of the first things that we have to learn to do is we have to learn to flee sin. Perhaps we need a definition of what that means. Well, to flee means to run away from or to be a fugitive. One of my favorite shows was The Fugitive. Harrison Ford. Almost forgot. Harrison Ford in The Fugitive. Innocent man, taken, tried and convicted and put into prison, but circumstances, he escapes, and he spends the rest of the show as a fugitive. And the U.S. Marshal's Office is relentless in trying to catch him. And man, he jumps off of this great big old giant waterfall, you know, and he lives over that. And finally, at the end, he exonerates himself and finds the one-armed man that really was the murderer of his wife. The Fugitive. But that's the concept that Paul is trying to portray for us here. To flee or to be a fugitive because Satan is absolutely relentless. He just does not give up. I know sometimes it just seems like things just keep coming at us and coming at us, and we climb up one hill and then there's just a giant valley, and life just seems like it's just piling and piling and piling stuff on us. We have a saying that when it rains, it pours, and sometimes it just seems like it's just pouring on us. That's all this world trying to get our attention away from God. And it works if we let it. One of the things about being a Christian is that it's not easy. It's not easy. It's a full-time job. It's not a come to church on Sunday morning life, and then everything's fixed for the rest of the week. It's a Monday, Tuesday, it's 24/7. And sometimes, and God bless your sweethearts, sometimes it just seems like your wagon is loaded with more than you can stand. I don't have any explanation for that. I don't know why that it seems like some people just go through life and everything just seems to fall in place. And then the others who are just wonderful Christians and awesome people, and things just keep piling in. I don't. That's way above my pay grade. And I can't explain that to you. Other than to say we live in a world where bad things do happen to really, really good people. But what God wants us to know is that He will not, hear me now, because when God says something, it's not like, well, that's good until the end of the year, or that's good for when God makes you a promise, He keeps it. And God tells us that He will not let us be tempted more than what we're able to bear. He will not let us be loaded down with the burdens and problems of this life more than what we can bear. He didn't say we you won't ever have any. He just said, I won't let you be burdened or tempted more than you can bear. But watch this now, every temptation, I will make a way for you to escape. We can always flee. The devil might shut every door, but he can't shut the one the Lord has opened. With every temptation, some? No. No. Nearly all? No. Every temptation, God has promised you that He will make a way for escape. You can flee because God's made you way. The Christian in a spiritual sense then is a fugitive. And the devil is always on the prowl. And let's look for a moment quickly here at some of the things that Paul tells us we need to flee. Paul here in 1 Timothy has just finished talking about the love of money when he said, flee these things. We live in a very financial world, so yes, that is always going to be a big thing in our lives. And we because we want to be, and God wants us to be. God never did not want you to be successful. God wants you to be successful. Because the more financially successful you are, if that indeed you are the child of God you ought to be, it just means you're going to give back to God. You're going to share it. Because God gives to you, you're going to give back. And we had a passage of scripture here for the giving this morning. It said, just give the Lord. He'll give it back to you. Heaped up, shaken together, pressed down. You're not going to outgive God. God wants you to be successful. But He's talking here about letting money control you. The love of money, Paul said. And Jesus, and we'll end this thought right here because we need to go no further. A man's life does not consist of the abundance of things that he possesses. And then we're told by Paul that another really good thought that we need as a Christian is just to abstain from all appearances of evil. If it doesn't look right, even though that it's just a door, if you go through that, where does it lead? You've got to be wise enough to say, what is next? If I go here, then where will that lead me? I know, man. It's a lot. It living this life and dealing with life itself is a pistol. It's tough. And then to put in your Christian life there along with that, it's work. And that's the reason why that times like this is important. We need this time. We need worship. God knew we would. Come and sing together. I just love, thank you so much, Brad, for the good songs that you led us this morning. I want to be a part of that. And the prayers, the assembling around the Lord's Supper, to take the Lord's Supper, to be reminded. I don't need to forget that. And to study together God's Word, it's important. Because it helps us to identify some of these appearances of evil that Paul is warning us against. And then in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 22, he talks there about our fleeing youthful lust. So flee youthful passion. And pursue righteousness and faith and love and peace along with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. Paul, as am I, as are we, we're concerned about our young people. Some of you guys are real close to getting out of school. Man, that is a huge step in your life. And very soon, you're going to be on your own. You're going to be deciding whether or not to go to church on Sunday morning or whether or not to. You're going to be the one that decides whether you go to this party or go to here or go there or not. You're going to be the one to decide what time you come home, whether or not you get your studies, whether or not you keep up, whether or not it's going to be a big giant step. And Paul is just trying to tell young people to be careful. Charles Solomon wrote a statement that is so true. He said, "You are young, you have a lot of energy, and temptations are especially strong for the young because of their boundless energy, their confidence, and lack of experience." There's just some things that you've never experienced, some roads that you've never been down. And so you need to listen. You need to be wise enough to listen to some of us that have been there and done that and can tell you where that road's going. And I hope and trust that you will be. Because it would absolutely break my heart, that of your parents and your church family here, if you lost your faith. That's why we pray for you so much. That's why that the elders here are so concerned about our youth. It's because we know that you have that energy. We know that you have that confidence. But we also know that you lack that experience. In Psalms 118 or 119 and verse 9, there the psalmist said, "How can a young man keep his way pure?" And he says, "By guarding it according to your word." That's the way you keep yourself pure, is by staying close to the book. And then another verse that's Paul says in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 14. He says, "Flee idolatry." Flee idolatry. Idolatry being anything or anyone that you put before God. And so, even though we don't have the same kind of physical stone and gold and silver idols like they did back in the old Bible times, there are very, very real idols in our lives today. And you need to ask yourself, what are my idols? Will anything we love more than God, anything we want more than God, anything we desire more than God, anything we treasure more than God, anything we enjoy more than God? And that can be our family, it can be our hobbies, it can be our grades, it can be our approval from others, it can be our job, it can be sports, it can be your cell phone, and your tablets. It can be your TV. It can be your yard. Anything that takes your time and your attention and puts it ahead of God is an idol. And even though all of these things are awesome and good things, they have the potential to separate us from God. Paul is just saying, be careful about the things that you put as important in your life. And then finally this morning, a great example of fleeing is Joseph in Genesis chapter 39. Just to remind you of the story, Joseph was in the house of Potiphar, and he was tempted to do something bad. And rather than do that, he literally ran, and physically ran from the temptation. Potiphar's wife desired Joseph. And he says, how can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? And so he literally ran. It cost him. He lost his position. He wound up in a dungeon. All the plan of God, because later he came from the dungeon to the king's palace, second only to the Pharaoh, in the greatest nation in the world. So sometimes you have to fight. We'll be talking about that later this month. But sometimes you just got to run. And you need the wisdom to know which to do which. So we have some great admonition, a great challenge for this brand new year. Flee those things that would destroy you. But this morning, we're asking you to come. If you have not dedicated your life to the God that can save you, that gives you the strength, that gives you the power to withstand the temptations and the problems and the burdens and the heartaches of life, if you need to show your faith by repenting of your sins and confessing that He is the Christ and being baptized for the remission of your sins, we bid you come. If you need to rededicate your life, if you have things that are holding you back, if there are idols that are keeping you from dedicating your heart to God, if we as your church family can help you in with these struggles, with these problems, and you want us to pray with you and for you, we bid you to come while together we stand and sing.